Good morning. Welcome to Rutgers Community Christian Church. We are delighted to have you join us today for a time of corporate worship, prayer, and teaching of the Word. We are so glad that you have come in person to Charis Chapel or you have joined us online this morning. Please bow and pray along with me. Our gracious and loving Heavenly Father, as we bow together, we pray in one heart as a congregation in New Jersey, along with our gospel workers sent out into the fields around the world. Please reveal your holy presence and your power to our partners where they serve. Lord, we thank you for the joy to worship our God freely in America. Please forgive us when we take this for granted. We confess that we are often distracted from eternity in our daily pursuits. We repent and humbly ask for your forgiveness. Please guard our church from self-consumption and nearsightedness. Lord, we pray for boldness, especially where persecution is intense and hostility may threaten. We pray that we may boldly preach the gospel, not just with words or a spirit of fear, but with a spirit of power, of love, and of self-control. We pray for your protection to preserve life and health amidst facing dangers. We pray that your disciples may step both feet out of the boat and walk on the water amidst the storms of uncertainty. We have faith in our Lord to save. Truly, you are the Son of God. Lord, we pray for intimacy with you, Jesus. We pray that despite busy schedules, we would intentionally seek to sit at your feet and draw close to you. We pray that we may serve from an overflow of the Holy Spirit rather than upon our own ability or our strength. Lord, we pray for strength, we pray for healing, and we pray for hope for all who suffer hardships in our midst. We pray for care, hospitality, and generosity among us to serve and help one another. We praise you as a church family, and we know that you are actively at work within us. So use us, Lord, to extend ourselves around the globe, to share the gospel and the hope of our Savior. In the precious name of our Lord Jesus, be glorified. Amen. Please be seated. Today's scripture readings are two passages from 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and 9. From chapter 8, we will read verses 1 to 5 and verse 7. From chapter 9, we will read verses 6 to 8 and verse 11. I will be reading from the New International Version. Please stand together for the reading of God's holy word. Please rise. From 2 Corinthians chapter 8, beginning with verse 1. And now, brothers and sisters, we want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches. In the midst of a very severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. For I testify that they gave as much as they were able, and even beyond their ability. Entirely on their own, they urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in this service to the Lord's people. And they exceeded our expectations. They gave themselves first of all to the Lord, and then by the will of God also to us. Verse 7, but since you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in complete earnestness and in the love we have kindled in you. See that you also excel in this grace of giving. And then 2 Corinthians chapter 9, beginning with verse 6. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly nor under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. And then verse 11, you will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion, and through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. May God bless the reading of his word. Please be seated. Good morning, church. October is Missions Month, and you are all invited to do your part to finish the Great Commission task. As the Lord speaks to you throughout this month, the Lord may tell you, pray. Pray for the gospel to be preached to the ends of the earth. The Lord may tell you to give. Give above and beyond to expand God's kingdom. As a church, the Lord may tell us to send. Send out more laborers to the field, for the workers are few. And during our missions conference next week, the Lord may prompt you, go. Especially go to the least reached people groups who have no access to a Bible or a church or other believers. But today, for Jesus' sake, I call on all believers in our church to give with great faith and participate in the RCCC Missions Faith Pledge. When we give in greater faith, our faith will grow exponentially. For our online audience who may be members of a different church, I also urge you to partner and please give towards the Great Commission in your own faith community. Now, why should we participate in the Missions Faith Pledge? This missions fund is raised to support our global partners, our mission workers, and our gospel projects. This is a pledge that is promised now in faith and then given throughout the year of 2022. It is above and beyond your regular tithes and offerings. And so why should we all participate in the faith pledge? First, the Great Commission is God's priority. And because the Great Commission is God's priority, it's also our church's priority. We should participate in the faith pledge to expand God's kingdom. Mark 16:15 says, "And he, Jesus, said to them, 'Go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation.'" Jesus said to go to all the world, a world of lost people, for God so loved the world. We don't have a right to exclude parts of the world that may be far away. They might be inconvenient or uncomfortable or unwelcoming. We must include all the world. The scripture says, our God wants all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth, 1 Timothy 2:4. It also says, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance, in 2 Peter 3:9. In Revelation, before the throne, we see a great multitude from every nation, tribe, people, and language. And that is a lot of real estate. And that requires a lot of resources to make it happen. Of course, there are a lot of good works our church can do. Lots of valuable ministry, like rescue missions, like social services, like refugee relief, like soup kitchens, like prison ministry, like justice missions. All of these things are valuable. But God's priority for the church is to proclaim the good news of Jesus, that Jesus died to redeem sinners and for souls to be added to his kingdom. You know, I was really excited to read the RCCC mission statement when I first arrived, which says, the RCCC missions ministry exists to mobilize and equip God's people to embrace his passion and engage in his purpose to establish a kingdom of worshipers for every nation, tribe, people, and tongue. We wish to see every member of RCCC take up their cross and follow Christ. and to fulfill the Great Commission by making disciples of all nations, especially among the least reached. Through praying, giving, and going, the purpose of missions is to impassion and equip God's people for lives of ardent worship expressed in active service and faith. And wow, I just loved it. These words were beautifully crafted, beautifully expressed, and continue to resonate. Many of you have sacrificially and generously given to the Great Commissions for 42 years. And praise the Lord, well done, good and faithful servants. And of course, our job is just not done yet. The Great Commission task is not yet finished, and we can do more, and we can do better for the next 42 years. It is God's priority, and therefore it should be our church's priority. Now, why else should we participate in the faith pledge? Secondly, to enable the missions ministry to plan our 2022 budget. How much more does God want our church to advance the gospel next year? You know, we all plan our family budget by the expected income. The pledge helps us to anticipate the amount. The pledge is practical for faithful spending. The Southern Baptist denomination annually takes a year-end special offering called the Lottie Moon Christmas Offering. And that amount at year-end determines the following year's mission spending. In 2020, they collected a cumulative $5 billion to support international missions in 2021. That's a nice chunk of change. Now, Lottie Moon, for the Chinese Christians, we are so indebted to her. She was a single sister missionary who brought the gospel to China for 40 years. So praise the Lord. Responsible planning, accurate accounting, and good stewardship are very important. Yet, there is another way to determine a mission budget, not based on what is collected, but based on faith with what is anticipated in our budget that is pledged. You may think, can't I just give towards missions ministry without signing a pledge? Can't I just give who I want to support? Well, yes, you can. And many of you have already been doing so, generously without pledging. But may I suggest that the faith pledge is an opportunity to trust God, to see the Lord do something mind-blowing. The faith part comes from relying on God to provide for the promise or the pledge you believe He is calling you to make. It was first taught by the 19th century Canadian preacher A.B. Simpson, the founder of the Christianary and Missionary Alliance. He taught a three-part challenge. First, what can I afford to give to the Great Commission work? This is focused on one's ability to give. Secondly, what can I sacrifice from my normal expenses in order to give? This is focused on sacrifice. And third, what can I trust God to provide in unexpected income? This is focused on faith in God. Now, at my Boston church, when I led the junior worship, I challenged my young teens to participate in the mission's faith pledge. I asked them to pray and make a pledge for the purpose of bringing the gospel to the lost in the world. Now, consider, what can you afford to give? What can you sacrifice? And what can you trust God to provide? At first, I thought that if every student gave $1 a month toward the Great Commission, perhaps from their allowance, they might see how their $12 a year could make a difference. And I reminded them, do not make a frivolous promise that you are not serious to carry out. And do not get the money sinfully, like steal it from your parents' wallet while they're sleeping. So go home and talk to your parents and return to make your pledge. And it can be really humbling. 1 year, the pledge came in at just over $1,600 from a group of junior high students. And I asked them, how do you plan to carry out this faith pledge? Afford. Some said, I'll share part of my allowance. I'll break my piggy bank. I'll share my Chinese New Year money, the red pockets. And then sacrifice. Some said, I'll skip going to the movies. I'll skip eating out at McDonald's with my friends. Instead of buying that new video game, I'll give the money to missions. And then trusting God. Some said, I'll do chores to earn money. I'll shovel snow and I'll mow lawns in my neighborhood. I'll ask God to provide. And as excited as I felt for $1,600, I gave them a week to go home and reconsider and revise their pledges. Let's get real. $1,600, that's a lot of money. Then the pledge came in even higher the next week. When the offering was collected each week, inside the offering bag, sometimes the money was wrapped in notebook paper or folded origami marked for my missionaries, kind of looking like this, with the money wrapped inside. And sometimes there were $20 bills. And then one day, one of the kids brought in a Ziploc bag with over $100 in there, and mostly in coins. So I felt so sorry for my treasurer and the finance committee for all the extra work that we gave them to unfold origami, but they assured me that they were completely delighted every time they saw the junior high offerings. So praise the Lord, those were times that I could really love my job. And I know many of our children give in faith today. They continue to give generously in faith towards Great Commission and served alongside me on many short-term mission trips. These are lessons to shape their heart and spiritual character. Not to withhold anything from the Lord, especially to reach the lost. So let's not only give what we can afford, but also give what we can willing to sacrifice, and to give in faith and participate in the mission's faith pledge. Now, the third reason why is to be obedient to the biblical teaching and examples of giving in the Bible. Every church should look at Scripture, how we believe and practice. But with limited time today, I can only highlight some observations from 2 Corinthians 8 and 9. And I will ask you to take time this week to appreciate its entirety, as well as the daily scriptures that are printed in the bulletin insert, as you pray and prepare to sign a faith pledge. Let's allow the Holy Spirit to guide us. The Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians was raising money in Corinth to help the saints in need. And he cites the good example of the churches in Macedonia who gave generously despite their circumstances. The early church was all about advancing the gospel in missions. Let's look at 2 Corinthians 8, verses 1 and 2. From here, This is what we learn from the churches in Macedonia. It all starts with grace, the grace of God. They experienced God's grace, and they shared God's grace with all the saints in need. If we have been filled with God's grace, should we hold on to it tightly or release our grip and let it overflow? More and more grace will come from God and then overflow. We won't ever run out of God's grace. I have four observations in verse 2. They had increasing severe trials. There was much proof of tribulation. Secondly, they had overflowing joy, an abundance of joy. Third, they had extreme poverty. They were in deep poverty, the drowning kinds of poverty. And yet, they responded in rich generosity despite being in poverty. Those of us who have less have been known to be giving more, even more than those who are well off. Is it because the poor had received and they acknowledged that they have received so much of God's grace? How could they not give it back? Being free of problems and having more does not equate with generosity, and it's usually quite the opposite. God's grace does not remove severe trials and extreme poverty, but responds in abundant joy and rich generosity. And this is how the churches in Macedonia gave, from verses 3 to 5. They gave beyond their ability, beyond their means. It was more than they could afford to give. And they gave out of their own choice. It wasn't out of guilt. They were not coerced. They were willful and cheerful givers. And they passionately begged to give even more. It said they implored. Paul may have known that they were persecuted and they were poor, and he may have tried to stop them from giving too much. But these passionate new believers were eager and fervent. Please let us give, because it was their joy to share with the saints in need. And they exceeded expectations. They gave themselves first to the Lord. They offered their lives, their devotion, and their first love to Christ. And then they offered their money for the brothers. Then Paul says to the church in Corinth in verse 7, "But since you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in complete earnestness, and in the love we have kindled in you, see that you also excel in the grace of giving." Despite we as a church can humbly acknowledge and confess that we are flawed and we have many weaknesses, and yet praise the Lord, this church has also excelled in just about everything: in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in earnestness, and in love. Now see to it that you also excel in this grace of giving. Giving is an act of grace for a church to express together. When a church gives corporately to reach an unreached people's group, to become a new church, or a church translates a new Bible, or helps the orphans and widows, or feed and clothe and shelter, and look after the least of these, the church can powerfully change the world for Christ. This church can change the world for Christ. Which leads us to the fourth reason: change the world for Christ. If our CCC, if we remain at status quo, and stop right here where we are at. Stop planting churches, stop sending missionaries, stop adding more to our numbers. We might be completely happy with ourselves and retire. But what more does the Lord want RCCC to do and to become? We will reap what we sow. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. You will be enriched in every way so that you will be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. You know, it does not seem right that some are blessed so abundantly while others suffer in need. But in verses 8 and 11, we see that we receive God's blessings so that we can generously give abundant blessings. May our generosity result in thanksgiving to God. May people say, may the nations in the world say, praise God for a church like that. Generous sowing reaps generous harvest. May RCCC make a difference to gathering all nations, tribes, peoples, and languages in the great multitude before the Lamb. And one final reason why we should participate in the faith pledge: to be changed myself. To put my faith in God and discover that He will provide beyond my ability. He will stretch my faith and exceed my expectations. You know, I have always known that my Heavenly Father was a generous and loving God who provides what is needed, no more and no less. There are two incidents that I'd like to share with you after I had dedicated to serve the Lord, when I learned that God would always faithfully provide if I would only faithfully trust Him. The first story, I studied in a college with a tuition-free scholarship, and that was God's grace to go to college for free. But when my calling was confirmed, I left that behind and I transferred to a Bible college. And I suddenly had a big tuition bill to pay. And for the very first time, I wondered if I had heard God wrong. But I had a friend named Jeanette who was full of faith, who made me kneel beside my bed in my dorm room, and she prayed, "Bless my dear sister who loves you. I pray in the name of Jesus to send money to Sandy in the mail this week so that she would know that you are faithful to provide." And right then I stopped her and I said, "Jeanette, please, please do not test the Lord in this kind of prayer." I was afraid the lightning was going to strike next to me. And she bowed her head and continued, "Forgive my sister, dear Lord. Give her faith. Yes, Lord, we believe you are Jehovah Jireh, our provider. Send Sandy money in the mail this week so that she will know that you are God and that you know all of her needs." Well, 2 days later, in my campus mailbox, I received a card from a friend who wrote, "The Lord laid it upon my heart to send you this. Have a great year at school." And in the envelope, there were $40 in cash. And it was postmarked the day before Jeanette had prayed. It stretched my faith. Was that a coincidence? Now, $40 was not going to pay my tuition, but it was a sign. And it was a sign, and I had no doubt that God will take care of me. Just fearlessly obey and live by faith and testify to the next generation to have great faith because the Lord is faithful. In fact, to God be the glory, I actually finished Bible college and seminary completely debt-free. And to this day, I have no idea how all my bills were paid. But I knew my life was in His good hands. I cherish the words of Hudson Taylor that says, "God's work done in God's way will never lack God's supply." And when God calls us to do something or go somewhere, He will surely provide a way. My last story is during the Bible college years, I was drawn to this Compassion International display table. You know, those tables where there are many photos of children around the world with children's sponsorship cards. And it said at that time, for $21 a month, that I could provide food, clothes, vaccines, and school support for one child. $21 a month. And I started walking away because as a college student, I couldn't afford $21 a month. But the Lord kept turning my head back and tugging at my heart. And before I knew it, well, I signed that card. My eyes were fixed on a little 5-year-old girl named Angel from the Philippines. And I became Angel's new sponsor, not knowing at all that how a college student I would be able to honor that pledge. But I prayed, "Lord, help me." A week later, I checked the job office in my school for a house cleaning job. When I called the job listing, a woman actually tried to talk me out of it and said, "You may not want this job. My teenage son is really messy, and you have to walk 2 miles from campus uphill. And I only need you 3 hours a month. I will pay $7 an hour." And right away, I said, "$21 a month? I'll take the job." It was exactly what I had pledged in faith, and God was showing me that He was providing no more, no less. And many years and quite a few more Compassion Children sponsorships later, I have been amazed how God provides. And that experience started changing me. If God moves you to make a certain faith pledge, He will provide no more, no less. The Lord is faithful to provide. If the Lord directs Archibald C to build this or support that, to sow this or to give that, He will provide a way to accomplish it if we only trust the Lord in faith. Be bold in your faith. May the Lord guide Archibald C in our faith pledges to fulfill our part of the Great Commission task with a great deal of passion. Let's close in prayer. Our gracious Lord, we pray that we may respond to your generosity that we have received, and be bold in a manner that we give and pray and send and go. We pray that as you wish, all nations will receive the gospel. Stretch our church to give not only what we can afford, but also what we can sacrifice and what we can trust the Lord to provide beyond what we can ever imagine. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.